My sermon title tonight is The Deadly Sin of Slothfulness. How many of you children have ever been to the zoo? Raise your hand if you've been to the zoo. How many of you have ever seen a sloth? Not many. Well, the next time you go to the zoo, you make sure you ask your parents to take you to see the sloth. How many of you adults ever saw a sloth at the zoo? In defining slothfulness, when you see a sloth at the zoo, that certainly helps you to define it in your mind. And it is very much a part of the definition. Slothfulness comes from the root word sloth, simply means not inclined to action or labor, sluggish, lazy, idle. A couple more verses in the book of Proverbs in defining slothfulness gives us a few word pictures here that help us to understand slothfulness. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. He's giving us a natural picture. Of this man's vineyard. The vineyard was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof. There was a stone wall along the vineyard, but it was broken down. All signs of slothfulness. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6, a more familiar passage. Proverbs 6 and verse 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. The sluggard loves to sleep. The sluggard doesn't look ahead. Proverbs 21 verse 25 says, the desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. All of these passages have given us natural illustrations of slothfulness. And I'm pretty sure that you can all identify tonight someone in your mind who kind of fits that picture of slothfulness. In the natural world. Another illustration of slothfulness, if you think of a river and a rowboat, I don't know how many of you have ever taken a rowboat out onto the river. But what happens if you take that rowboat out onto the river and you stop rowing? Where do you go? Well, inevitably downstream. And that's the easiest thing to do. If you want to go that direction, it's very simple. And if you are slothful, you will just let the boat drift where it will. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, another very familiar story. Jesus speaking in verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." We don't understand a lot about weddings and Bible times. Maybe just a few details will help you to understand this story better. It was common for the bridegroom to go to the bride's house to receive his bride. And it was common that that was done late in the evening. It was usually dark till he got to the bride's house, until he got back to his house. And on that journey to the bride's house and on the journey home, there were friends that were picked up along the way that became part of the funeral, part of the marriage procession. And so it was common to have a little lamp. Today we take a flashlight. We say that's a lot easier, a flashlight, but they had a lamp. If you know what a kerosene lamp is like, that might be the closest illustration to what these lamps were like. I think they were even more primitive than that, but they did burn oil with a little flame. And apparently the bridegroom was exceptionally late for some reason. They didn't expect him to be as late as he was, but he was late. And it says they slept while they waited on him. But he came. And then we have the five virgins that were wise and the five that were foolish. And only the five wise ones made it into the wedding reception, we would call it today. The other five were not welcome. In fact, the bridegroom said, "I know you not." And Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto that. I ask you, what sin did the five foolish commit that they were rejected? What sin did they commit? Were they liars? Did they practice immorality? Did they practice disobedience? Were they sleeping? Is that why they were rejected? No. It was slothfulness. It was slothfulness. And their punishment was that the door was shut. I don't know if most bridegrooms would have been that hard on the visitors that came or not, or if Jesus made this story fit the occasion, I'm not sure, but Jesus was telling us that the kingdom of heaven is like this, and it's very clear to me that he was illustrating the time of when Jesus would come back for his bride, and that some would be prepared and some would not be prepared. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto that. You and I are the 10 virgins tonight. Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. Verse 13 is directly to us. Watch therefore. I appreciate Brother Ron's devotional. Certainly fits here. That man and his son were watching ahead of time. They had oil in their lamps. They were prepared. Are you and I prepared? Are you and I ready for Jesus' return? Is there one thing you would need to do if you knew he was coming tomorrow? So easy to be slothful. Do you have extra oil? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 has this little phrase in it. Pray without ceasing. And there's another verse that says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You can't pray without ceasing if you're slothful. Neither will you study like a workman if you are slothful. But if you pray without ceasing and you study, you'll have extra oil for a time of an emergency. We'll have extra oil. Slothfulness destroys opportunities. I'd like you to think about that. I have a couple illustrations of that, but if you could think of some in your life, that would be helpful as well. How does slothfulness destroy opportunities? Well, I'm a carpenter by trade. So I build houses sometimes, build garages and sheds sometimes. Sometimes I put additions on houses. And I have, in my time of starting my little business in a new community, I have done some advertising in the local paper because sometimes I wasn't always busy. I didn't have the opportunity always to be busy. So I was looking for opportunities. Well, my testimony in the natural world is that that advertising in the paper did very little good. What really did some good is when I had a job to do and I was out working and somebody drove by and they stopped and they came back and they said, could you build me this? Could you do this for me? I'm putting a roof on a house. And could you put a roof on my house? Slothfulness destroys opportunity. Diligence produces opportunity in the natural world. So it is in the spiritual world, I believe. You know, if I didn't go to work because it was too cold or too hot for some other reason, I might have missed that opportunity of that person driving by. Slothfulness in church life destroys opportunities. Do you believe that tonight? Slothfulness in church life destroys opportunities. Slothfulness destroys opportunities for outreach, destroys opportunities for evangelism. If you're busy in church life, you will find opportunities for evangelism and outreach. Diligence will produce them. Slothfulness can ruin interpersonal relationships. Diligence can restore them. But slothfulness can ruin them. Continuing on in Matthew chapter 25. Another familiar story, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents because I have gained, behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What was the sin of the 1 talent servant? Had he killed someone? Had he committed adultery? Had he committed blasphemy? Had he stolen money? What had he done? It says, symbolic, I believe, of the judgment day again, that he was cast into outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. What did he do that justified such a punishment? He had done nothing. Just nothing. What are you and I doing with the 1 talent that God has given us? Someone put it this way. It isn't the thing you do, friend, but the thing you leave undone that gives you a bit of heartache at the setting of the sun. The encouraging word we might have spoken to a discouraged friend, the helpful deed that would have made someone's burden a little lighter, the bit of money pressed lovingly into the hand of the needy. These are the neglected things that bring remorse and rob others of the help they need. When through slothfulness we fail to do that loving deed, Jesus' words of judgment might ring in our ears. Inasmuch as ye did it not unto one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. Martin Luther put it this way. He said this in one of his sermons. The devil held a great anniversary at which his emissaries were convened to report the results of their several missions. I let loose the wild beasts of the desert, said one, on a caravan of Christians, and their bones are now bleaching in the sands. What of that, said the devil? Their souls were all saved. I drove the east wind, said another, against a ship freighted with Christians, and they were all drowned. What of that, said the devil? Their souls were saved. The third said, "For 10 years I have tried to get one person to be at ease about his soul, and at last I succeeded, and he is ours." Then the devil shouted, and the night stars of hell sang for joy. Are we living in ease and slothfulness? You can think of many practical areas where you can be slothful, I'm sure, but I'll give you a few. We can be slothful in the teaching and the training of our children. I can identify with that very much in the heat of the battle. In training children, sometimes it's just a lot easier to do nothing. In everyday life, in the common courtesies, in my dress, in my speech, I can be slothful. I can be slothful in my driving habits, slothful in my personal cleanliness, slothful with my smiles, in other words, not enough of them. We are happy. We are God's people. We ought to show it on our faces. Slothful in tithing, slothful in charities. We as church leaders can be slothful too. Slothful in doing the difficult work of church life. It's just a lot easier to do nothing, isn't it? Are we willing to get involved to save a soul? Do we think about it that way, that perhaps our involvement can save a soul? Turn with me to James chapter 4 and verse 17. James chapter 4 and verse 17. "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." A quote from Billy Graham: "Eternal life is within reach of everyone. The Savior is as near as your yielded will, or he is as far away as you want him to be. Your own stubborn, slothful spirit is your greatest hindrance to letting him work in your heart." The worst thing that slothfulness can do is rob a person of spiritual purpose. Can rob a person of the power of Christian decision. It can make a person incapable of positive action. They know the right way. They know the correct path. They can see it plainly. They just don't take it. Slothfulness. You do not have to do anything to be lost. Just be slothful about your soul just do nothing.